Good health to all from Rexall. It's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist with a welcome from all 10,000 of us, the 10,000 independent druggists who have made the word Rexall part of our own store name and placed the famous orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. We've done that because we believe in the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company, and we confidently recommend them to our customers. One of the most famous of these products is Rexall Milk of Magnesia, the popular antacid laxative that's so pure, so exceptionally mild and free from unpleasant earthy taste, even a child can spot the difference. Quality like that is what we family druggists are talking about when we tell you you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Last week, Mr. Scott's daughter, Marjorie, met Julius Abruzio, the grocery boy, and now she has a terrific crush on him. Alice thinks Marjorie has made an excellent choice. And as we look in, Phil is expressing his opinion.
What does she see in that A&P gypsy? Got absolutely nothing. The poor girl must be out of her mind.
Oh, Phil, you remembered after all these years.
Remembered what?
What Father said to Mother when she told him I was marrying you.
Father said that about me?
Father kept it clean. You should have heard what Uncle Earl said.
Willie, why don't you marry Julius? You and that little baboon deserve each other.
Now listen, from now on, Philip, you'd better treat Julius with respect. He's in a very favorable position with Mr. Scott.
Favorable position, favorable. So what? He can't hurt me. The Rexall people love me. Why, I've been with them for 2 years.
You won't have to work at all next year, Daddy.
That's right. Julia said that he's going to see to it that you come into a lot of money.
What money?
He said in September you'll start collecting your unemployment insurance.
He said that, huh?
Philip, this situation might become serious. Mr. Scott thinks Julius is a very intelligent lad, and he listens to all his suggestions.
He does?
Yes.
He really does?
Yes.
Well, do you suppose that he could get Scott to fire me?
Oh, Phil, don't be silly. Mr. Scott wouldn't listen to a child. But if he ever fired you because Julius told him to, I'd lose all respect for him. And I'd tell him so, too. I'd let him know just how I feel about it.
Wait a minute, honey. There's the bell. I'll get it.
Hello, Harris.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Scott.
And little me.
Oh, I see you brought your dog, Scotty.
Take it easy, Harris, and watch the way you talk to Mr. Abruzio, an official at a Rexall company.
You're an official?
Yeah. I'm vice president in charge of figuring out a way to get rid of Harris and Remley. From now on, you'll address me as sir.
Address you as... Now, look here, Julius.
Julius what?
Julius, you little stinker. Mr. Scott, don't tell me now that he's a member of your company.
What? Oh, no, no, of course not, Harris. The boy's just baiting you.
Well, that's better.
However, he has made some very sensible suggestions concerning the program.
Well, if he has suggestions that will help the program, I'm more than ready to listen. After all, I'm a fair-minded man. What have you got in mind, son?
Well, I thought...
I don't like it. It won't work and drop dead.
Let me explain. I have an idea for using your picture in our new advertising campaign.
What's that? Oh. Oh, so you're going to use my picture, huh? Now, that I like.
I thought you would, you big ham bone. We're going to print a full-page picture of you with a caption under it advertising the Rexall product.
Well, what does the caption say?
If you look like this, we got something that can cure it.
Mr. Scott, I ain't going to listen to this kid any longer, and
till I'm finished. I got other suggestions for you. I think during the summer you ought to work in one of our drugstores for experience.
Me? Me work in a drugstore?
Yeah, you can have your choice. We got stores all over the United States, Canada, England.
Look, if you don't stop with these crazy suggestions, I'm going
to... Quiet! Or I'll banish you to our store in Outer Mongolia.
Julius, please, don't be such... Do we have a store in Outer Mongolia?
Yeah. I just sent him a directive telling them to run a giant 1 yen sale.
Look, if you're finished, Abbott and Costello, I'd like to ask you just one thing.
I got no time now. I got to meet Marjorie at the market. In the meantime, Harris, get on the ball. Keep your nose to the grindstone and fight on for dear old Rexall. Fight on for RX.
A-double-L. It rings the bell, ding dong.
What wonderful lyrics. That arrangement ain't bad either.
Goodbye, J.A. Oh, that boy has a good mind. It absorbs things. So does a bar rag.
Mr. Scott, are you going to let this kid run your business?
He's not running my business, but he has come up with two good suggestions concerning you. One, that you and your orchestra rehearse 8 hours every day. And two, that in the evenings you make personal appearances at our stores to help sales.
Well, that only accounts for my days and evenings. At night, I can come over to your house and do a little of your ironing.
How are you on pleated dress shirts?
I want to tell you just one thing. My contract calls for me to do a radio program, and that kid has no right to come in here and tell me how to do my job.
Phil,
and
who
I...
are you yelling at like... Oh, hello, Mr. Scott.
How do you do, Mrs. Harris?
What's going on, Phil?
It's about my job. Mr. Scott came over...
To fire you?
Honey,
Mr. Scott, you ought to be ashamed of yourself firing Phil.
Mrs. Harris,
Why are you trying to get rid of Phil? Give me one reason.
Mr. Harris has...
What do you mean he has no talent?
Give him a chance to answer.
Oh, Phil, don't be a jellyfish. Let me tell you something, Mr. Scott. We don't like your attitude. We don't have to stand for it. We can work for someone else. And Phil quit.
Who quit? Alice, Mr. Scott didn't fire me.
He didn't?
No, he didn't. Look, Mr. Scott, if you want me to rehearse 8 hours a day, okay. But really, I don't need it. Now, look, I'll take this song right here and do it for you without any rehearsal at all, and I'll bet you $10 you'll love it.
Make it 20, and you've got a bet.
In my dreams, I seem to hear a whistle shrill, like the whippoorwill, and I'm the whippoorwill. In my ears, I hear it ringing, and the past to me it is bringing. It reminds me of that dear old Mississippi, when I loaded cotton on that stern wheel ship.
roused about, knocked about. Those were the happy days, there's no doubt. On the Mississippi, where those boats go puffing along. On the Mississippi, darkies all go dippy when they hear a little bit of ragtime melody. It seems I hear them singing, see them bucking, winging, to the banjos ringing. Woo, my heart is clinging to the Mississippi, dear old Mississippi, that's where I was born. To see that sight, river all a glistening in the bright moonlight. With my gal again I am strolling, and her eyes at me they are rolling. All along the levee see those darkies prance, listen to the music, watch that shuffling dance. Lordy me, can't you see that there is only one place for me, and it's on old Mississippi, on that Mississippi where those boats go puffing along. On the Mississippi, darkies all go dippy when they hear a little bit of ragtime melody. It seems I hear them singing, see them bucking, winging, hear those banjos ringing. Woo, my heart is flinging to that Mississippi, dear old Mississippi, that's where I was born.
Well, Mr. Scott, how'd you like that?
As I was saying, I want you to rehearse 8 hours a day, every day. And furthermore, I'd suggest...
Hi, Curly. Hello, Alice. Hi, Frank. Well, if it isn't the Rexall family druggist.
Good evening.
Hello, Remley. How is the American tragedy feeling today?
Mr. Scott, why is your attitude toward me so venomous? Why do you dislike me so? Why?
Remley, I happen to be fortunate enough to hate you, and I am not going to question my luck.
Mr. Scott, there's no room in this country for a word like hate. You should learn to be tolerant like I am. I don't get along with you, but I don't hate you.
You don't?
No. I just loathe you a little.
Frankie, don't talk that way to Mr. Scott.
Let him talk. Let him talk, Harris. The machinations of his minute mind intrigue me.
What'd you say about my father?
Remley, I'm glad you're here. From now on, I want you to work 8 hours a day, every day.
What a ridiculous idea. You can't order me around, Scotty. I don't need you, and I don't need your job, and I'd quit except for one thing.
What's that?
I need your money.
Remley, as long as you're working for me, you'll do as I say. Goodbye.
Lovely person.
I've had him for an hour.
He has all the charm of a wet sock.
Well, that's all we can use here.
Hey, Curly, where did he get all these silly ideas about work?
Oh, it's Julius's idea.
Oh, Julius.
That's right. Since he's been going with Scott's daughter, he's been doing his best to make it tough for us.
That little...
And as long as he goes with Marjorie, he'll keep on trying to influence Mr. Scott. And I got news for you. He might even blow our jobs.
Ooh. We got to break up their romance.
You said it.
Well, let me see now. When two people are in love, what's the best way to break it up?
Have them marry each other.
What was that, Wonga?
Now, wait. I didn't mean us, darling. We're different. Our love is eternal, and it grows stronger and stronger as time goes on, because our affinity is a thing of beauty and rapture.
I didn't know you had that in you.
You're no more surprised than I am.
Curly, I think I know a way to break up Julius and Margie. Nothing scares a young guy quicker than when the girl first mentions marriage.
True.
Julius would drop Marjorie like a hot potato if she were to call him and start talking about their wedding.
That's right. Right you are. But how are we going to get Marjorie to call him?
She don't have to. All we have to do is get another girl to pretend she's Marjorie.
Yeah. Hey, look, we'll get a stooge to call. Some girl who we... Alice. I want you to do me a favor.
What do you got in mind, Max?
Stop talking like Julius. All I want you to do is to call Julius.
No, I'm not calling anybody. I'm not going to interfere in any romance, and I don't think you should either.
She never wants to cooperate. I don't know what to do with her.
Have you ever tried beating her?
Frankie, a gentleman doesn't strike a woman. It's crude, it's vulgar, and besides, if I ever tried it, she'd fracture me.
Curly, I know what we can do. You call Julius. Disguise your voice. Tell him it's Marjorie. I'll get him on the phone for you.
Hold it a minute, Remley. I don't sound like no dame.
Oh, speak in a falsetto. Tell him you got a cold. Anything.
Oh, we got to do something. All right, give me the phone.
Here. Hello, Encino Market. Julia speaking.
Hello, Julia. Guess who this is. Don't be a wise guy, darling. Julius, this is Marjorie.
Oh, honey, you gotta stop smoking them nickel cigars.
You're a con. It's so funny. I talk like this, dear, because I have a bad cold.
Oh, that's too bad. How'd you catch it?
Rehearsing the wedding march in a drafted church.
What are you rehearsing the wedding march for?
Because I want to be letter perfect, dear, when you and I get married.
Well, I don't blame you. Married? How'd that word slip in?
It didn't slip, lover. I pushed it.
Pick it up and carry it out.
Oh, you don't love me. Boo hoo. Julius, dear, you have just got to marry me. I just bought a completely new torso. Hold the wire a minute, sweetheart.
Hey, Remley, how do you pronounce that word?
Trousseau. Correction, darling. I just bought a completely new trousseau. I'll meet you at the church tomorrow. Goodbye, Julia.
But Marjorie! Hello, Marjorie! Marjorie! Oh, why do I have to be so irresistible? I don't want to get married. I'll just have to be blunt and tell her when I see her. I'll put my foot down and I'll... Hello, Julia. Take your new torso and get out of here! Julia, what are you talking about? Just now on the phone, you said you wanted to get married, and I turned around and here you were... I wasn't talking to you on the phone. One of us must be nuts, and it can't be me, because I just came from my psychiatrist. Talking to you.
That's right.
But if it wasn't you, what girl did call? Who would be stupid enough to pronounce trousseau as torso?
Phil Harris.
That's the thing! I get it. He was trying to scare me off by making me think you want to rush me into marriage. Your father ought to fire him.
See, how do you do worse than that? Once when he was angry, he said that if anybody tried to promote my marriage, he'd shoot them.
What a charming thought.
Shoot him, huh?
Monty, I got an idea. Call your father and tell him to meet us at Mr. Harris's house in about an hour.
What have you got in mind?
Mr. Harris is trying to scare us out of marriage. But if we can convince your father that Harris talked us into it, you'll get into a lot of trouble. Oh, boy, what a way to get even
lovely. Hey, you should have heard the way Julius went for that marriage gimmick. All I had to do was mention the word marriage, and he got scared.
Sure. My schemes always work.
Someday your schemes are going to get you fellas into a lot of trouble. That's what happened to my uncle on St. Patrick's Day.
Which uncle, Earl?
No, Clancy, and thanks for the lead-in.
Oh, you.
Was a peaceful man, if you know what I mean. The cops picked up the pieces after Clancy left the scene. He never looked at trouble, that's a fact you can assume. But nevertheless, when trouble would press, Clancy lowered the boom.
Oh, the Clancy, oh, the Clancy. Whenever they got his iron shot, Clancy lowered the boom.
A fighting man of the aisle knew he was tough. He strutted round the neighborhood, a shooting off his guff. He picked a fight with Clancy, then a dare he sealed his doom. Before you could shout, "Oh, Leary, look out!" Clancy lowered the boom.
Oh, the Clancy! Oh, the Clancy! Whenever they got his iron shot, Clancy lowered the boom.
Maroonie walked into the bar and ordered up a round. He left his drink to telephone, and Clancy drank it down. Maroonie said, "Who drunk me drink? I'll lay him in his tomb." Before you could pat the top of your hat, Clancy lowered the boom.
Oh, the Clancy, oh, the Clancy. Whenever they got his iron shot, Clancy lowered the boom.
Now the neighbors all turned out for Kate O'Grady his wedding night. McDougal said, "Let's have some fun. I think I'll start a fight." He wrecked the hall, then kissed the bride and pulverized the broom. Then quick as a wink, before you could think, Clancy lowered the boom.
Oh, that Clancy, oh, that Clancy. Whenever they got his iron it up, Clancy lowered the boom. Boom, 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 boom,
boom.
Clancy lowered the boom.
The back of the hand to you.
Hey, that was swell, honey.
Hey, Curly, look who's coming up the walk. Julius and Marjorie.
Together? Uh-oh. Oh, gee. Now, she must have told him she didn't call him.
So what?
Huh?
They're playing right into our hands. With a few pointed remarks, we can scare them so bad they'll both be off marriage for life.
Well, I'm not going to stand here and watch this. I'm going inside.
But, Alice, it's a harmless scheme to save our jobs.
Frankie, I think it's a dirty plot, and I won't be a party to it. Goodbye.
Hey, Curly, when the kids come in, we'll really lay the wedding angle on them and watch Julius run.
Okay, but remember now, we got to be subtle about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Curly, you wait here. I'll let him in.
Hi, Mr. Remley.
Well, if it isn't Julius Abruzio and Mrs. Abruzio.
We ain't married.
Not yet. Take Julius' arm, Marjorie, and follow me into the living room.
Hello, Mr. Harris.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here. I now pronounce you man and wife. That will be $2, please.
Wait a minute.
Train leaving on track 2 for Niagara Falls. Board.
I don't want to go Niagara
Falls.
Boat
sailing for honeymoon cruise to Bermuda. All ashore. Who's going ashore?
Stop the train. Get married.
That's what you think. Come here, kid. Look, kid, this girl has got her hooks into you. She wants to get married right away.
She does?
Yeah. Yeah. Scares you, doesn't it?
No. I like the idea.
I knew it would scare you. And what do you mean you like it?
What's your look tonight, Margie?
Okay.
Wait a minute. You can't get married.
Why not?
Well, because, well, I, excuse me a minute while I talk to my dirty plot man. Remley, I thought you said that they'd play right into our hands.
All right, take it easy. I got a head full of dirty plot. Marjorie, why do you and Julius want to get married?
Because we love each other.
Of all the stupid reasons. Julius, if you want to get married, okay, but why marry a woman?
You got a better substitute, maybe?
What I'm trying to say is marriage changes a woman. Once she hooks you, she becomes unbearable. She becomes a shrew and a miserable tyrant. Didn't Alice, Curly?
Frankie, Alice is... Oh, I see what you mean. Alice is a beast, Julius, and I'll prove it to you. Alice, would you come in here, darling?
Coming,
Phil. Watch the way she bosses me, the way she tells me what to do.
What did you want, honey?
Can I go out and play poker with the boys tonight?
Oh, why, of course you can, darling.
You see, she's always nagging. I hate to play poker, but she makes me.
You asked me if you could go out tonight, and I think you should go out with the boys. And stay out till 2 o'clock. It's all right with me.
Who are you expecting?
Well, Mother's coming over.
See, she and her mother are double dating.
That's what marriage is like, Julius. Miss Fay is married to Mr. Harris, but she's running around with another man.
Can you blame her?
No. But look, Julius.
Thank you, Frank. Mr. Harris suggested that we get married and I'm going to go through with it. But we've got to pledge all to secrecy.
Well, why?
Because Mr. Scott said he'd shoot anybody who promoted his daughter's marriage. And seeing as how Mr. Harris suggested this, he...
Julius, wait a minute. I didn't mean to.
Now, don't worry. How's he going to know? Where would you find anybody nasty enough to tell Mr. Scott?
Tell me what?
That Mr. Harris talked me and Marjorie into getting married.
Married? Julius, you told him.
Yeah, I guess we found somebody nasty enough.
Harris, how could you do a thing like this to my young child?
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Scott. I can explain everything.
I want your explanation. Trying to marry off my daughter, you... You marriage broker, you! I ought to...
Stop talking, Pop! There's your target. Start shooting! You.
Where's my gun bearer? I use double O birdshot.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. Meanwhile, here's your Rexall Family Druggist.
I never cease to wonder at the many ways scientists have learned to improve on nature. And it seems to me that Plenamins, Rexall's popular multivitamin capsules, make a pretty good example.
Why? How do you mean?
Well, ma'am, long and careful study of the Plenamins formula has enabled Rexall scientists to make the vitamins it contains more stable than they are in their natural state. For example, the vitamin C in Plenamins is more stable, that is, less liable to lose its full natural potency, than the same amount in orange juice would be shortly after the juice is squeezed from the fresh orange.
Well, how on earth do they do it?
Well, for one thing, the vitamin C contained in Plenamins is protected in the capsule by a special fruit acid which helps keep it at full potency. What's more, Plenamins are carefully fortified, so that when you take them, you should be getting, at the very least, the amount stated on the label.
And are Plenamins easy to take?
Just this easy. The daily dosage is individually sealed in airtight metal foil. You merely break it off day by day, and the remaining capsules stay completely protected.
Say, I'm beginning to think old Mother Nature could take a lesson from Rexall scientists.
Well, ma'am, 10,000 family druggists have learned this. You can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
We're a little late, so thanks, and good night, everybody. Good night.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Gail Gordon and Louise Erickson. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Alice Faye appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. Whenever you have a headache, remember this about Rexall aspirin. When swallowed with water, the 5 full grains of pure aspirin contained in every Rexall aspirin tablet are ready to go to work for you even before they reach your stomach. So whenever you have a headache, remember that about Rexall aspirin. Ask for it wherever you see the orange and blue Rexall sign on the window. And remember always, you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.